This sale season, Ritual is urging you to think about what's essential. Your daily health? Pretty essential. Making sure your products are heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and sourced through a traceable supply chain? Also essential. So this Black Friday, skip the micro trends and put your savings where they matter. Your health. With 40% off daily essentials like stress relief and Symbiotic Plus for gut support. Head to ritual.com/podcast and shop responsibly.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 428.
On Now You Know. So Tesla Charging has posted a blog post on their new version 4 cabinet.
Cabinet? So Tesla's doing like kitchen remodels now?
No. The V4 cabinet is that big box there in the middle.
Okay, remind me what the cabinet is for again. It's not where like Tesla keeps their cleaning supplies, is it?
No. You'll find big white cabinets like this at every supercharger, usually hidden in plain sight. Although sometimes they're kind of hidden behind fences or walls.
Okay, but what are they for?
Those cabinets are for AC to DC conversion. Not that AC-DC.
Oh.
The cabinets take AC current from the grid and convert it into the DC current that EV batteries store.
I can't believe we started the show with a story about cabinets. This is so boring.
It's so boring.
Okay, well, here's where the sexy part comes in.
Wait, did that say 500 kilowatts?
Yep. The new Tesla version 4 cabinet can pump out 500 kilowatts for cars and get this, 1.2 megawatts for Tesla semi-trucks. Tesla says this means faster charging, supports 400 to 1,000 volt vehicle architectures, including 30% faster charging for Cybertruck. Sexy vehicles enjoy 250 kilowatt charging rates they already experience on the V3 cabinet, charging up to 200 miles in 15 minutes.
Okay, wait. All right, so the sexy models, those will still charge up to 250 kilowatts, but our Cybertruck will charge 30% faster?
That's what it says.
What else?
Faster deployments. V4 cabinets power 8 posts, which is 2 times the stall per cabinet. Lower footprint and complexity equals more sites coming online and faster. Next generation hardware. Cutting edge power electronics designed to be the most reliable on the planet with 3 times density, enabling higher throughput with lower costs. Our first sites with V4 cabinets are going to be permitting now. First openings in 2025.
Wait. So Tesla's found a way to basically get more bang for the buck. So like 3 times the power density and 2 times the supercharger stalls per cabinet. That's amazing.
And they're going to enable mega charging for the Tesla semi-truck.
And 30% faster charging speeds for Cybertruck. That should mean 325 kilowatts. I can't wait to experience that.
I mean, to be fair, there are a few EVs that charge faster than 250 kilowatts right now. Porsche Taycan can charge up to 320 kilowatts on some models. The Kia EV6 can hit 350 for a couple minutes. The Lotus Eletre can charge at 350 kilowatts. And the Lucid Air typically charges around 300 kilowatts. And the Genesis GV series supports 350 kilowatts, although they don't charge at those speeds for very long.
But I think this is another big news story from Tesla that is going to get missed or quickly forgotten. Okay. So Tesla has built and continues to build the largest high-speed charging network in the world. This new V4 cabinet is going to help Tesla supercharge more vehicles every day while simultaneously lowering their costs.
Yeah, Tesla already has a huge cost advantage over their competition. A typical supercharger stall costs about $43,000, while an Electrify America charger costs $200,000, almost five times as much. And that was way back in 2022.
And I want to go back to the 500 kilowatt charging speeds for cars. Why would Tesla do this unless they were planning on making a car that could charge at these speeds?
So you're thinking, what, the Cybercab will charge at 500 kilowatts?
I kind of doubt that, to be honest. I mean, with a fairly small battery pack, it seems unlikely that you could pump that much juice into it. But I mean, down the road with better battery chemistries.
That's a good point. But also, what about the Robovan or the Robovan? I mean, this is going to have a bigger battery, so that might be able to take these higher speeds.
Yeah, I mean, that seems very possible. I mean, what do you guys think? Comment down below.
And what about wireless charging?
Now, from what I understand, wireless charging involves transmitting AC current. Then that gets converted in the car's AC to DC converter. So I don't think that these new V4 cabinets have anything to do with that. But hey, I'm not an electrician. I just play one on TV. Thank you to Delete Me for sponsoring today's episode.
Delete Me is a hands-free subscription service that will remove your personal information that's being sold online.
So in the past, we've talked about how easy it is to search and find personal information online.
That information can open you up to all sorts of risks, including identity theft and personalized scams.
And over the last decade, the U.S. has seen a steady growth in politically motivated, threatening online behavior, peaking around election cycles.
Some 3 in 4 voters report fearing political violence.
A key enabler of the growth of personalized political attacks online is the abundance of sensitive personal information that is out there.
Delete Me research shows that the volume of personal data on individuals available online has tripled between 2019 and 2023 to an average of over 525 pieces of personal information per person available free or for as little as $5 per profile.
You cannot always control whether you are a target, but you can make it harder for politically motivated threat actors to escalate threats by taking a proactive approach to the security of your personal information.
When you sign up, you'll get a privacy report in 7 days outlining what information Delete Me has found and deleted.
Delete Me will work to remove all your personal data like phone numbers and addresses, even photos, email addresses, and lists of relatives.
The experts will monitor sites and repeat removal as needed, and users can make custom removal requests.
Since the ways companies collect, share, and sell your data is constantly changing, Delete Me believes online privacy solutions must continuously improve and evolve to address these challenges.
Delete Me's mission is simple: to remove customers' information from search results. They believe in the right to own, manage, and remove personal information from public access.
Sign up for Delete Me via our link in the description below and use our code NYK20 to get 20% off.
Thanks to Delete Me for sponsoring this episode.
So President-elect Trump announced last week that Elon and Vivek Ramaswamy will both lead DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. Elon said this will send shockwaves through the system and anyone involved in government waste, which is a lot of people.
Musk and Ramaswamy at DOGE will partner with the White House and Office of Management and Budget to, quote, drive large-scale structural reform and create an entrepreneurial approach to government never seen before, said President Trump.
Dan Ives, analyst from Wedbush, told his clients, while this is not an official U.S. government department and would not need congressional approval, it's clear that Musk will have a massive role in the Trump White House, with his increasing reach clearly across many federal agencies. Since this is not an official cabinet or U.S. government position, and it's essentially newly created, there will be no changes to Musk's CEO roles with Tesla and SpaceX, importantly, from the street's perspective.
Vivek Ramaswamy posted, DOGE will soon begin crowdsourcing examples of government waste, fraud, and abuse. Americans voted for drastic government reform, and they deserve to be part of fixing it.
Elon said, we will have a leaderboard for most insanely dumb spending of your tax dollars. This will be both extremely tragic and extremely entertaining.
And as Dan Ives pointed out, we believe the major benefits for Musk and Tesla outweigh any negatives, as this continues to be a poke move for the ages by Musk betting on Trump.
What's a poke move?
A master stroke, a bet that paid off. So, I mean, I guess the question here is, won't this hurt Elon even more? I mean, most people have, you know, been told that Elon is a Nazi and that he's a horrible person. And so isn't him continuing to work with Trump basically a bad idea?
I mean, I think the sad thing here is that most people, or many people at least, have been misled. And that's why we don't get our info from legacy media anymore. I mean, you just can't trust it. As we've weaned ourselves off of it, we've seen that most of it is either omissions or lies. And if Elon can cut this $2 trillion from the $6.5 trillion of spending, then I think a lot of people are going to see him as a hero.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah!
Zach and I have been seeing him as a hero for a long time, and that's because we've been doing this job pretty uniquely. I mean, I don't think that most people spend every single week researching and seeing what a single person is doing in the world of electric cars, space travel, mind chips, all sorts of stuff like that. I think that a lot of people just kind of, you get a quick taste of somebody. You go like, oh, Jeff Bezos, he's rich and he's bald and he looked all weird. He looks like Lex Luthor. He has a yacht. I don't like him. The same thing with Elon. Oh, Elon's weird. He talks weird.
He jumps up and down.
He's got a lot of weird kids, and so I don't like him.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of a weird takeaway to take because he's a pretty in-depth guy. He's been working like every day, pretty much like 80-hour weeks for the last like 20 years.
The Department of Government Efficiency posted, "We're very grateful to the thousands of Americans who have expressed interest in helping us at Doge. We don't need more part-time idea generators. We need super high IQ small government revolutionaries willing to work 80 plus hours per week on unglamorous cost cutting. If that's you, DM this account with your CV. Elon and Vivek will review the top 1% of applicants." I mean, honestly, I would love this job. It's just that I don't have time for it right now with this show. And for Tesla shareholders who are worried that Elon will be working for the government full time, that's not the case. Elon and Vivek will be providing advice and guidance from outside of government. That's a direct quote.
And this assignment is limited to 21 months and it ends on July 4th, 2026.
Now, our guess is that Elon won't be the one pouring through reams of budget documents and accounting reports, but that he and Vivek will be, number one, helping to find people who are good at that.
Number two, setting the tone for what efficient government is and what it is not.
And three, making the tough decisions about what stays and what goes, and then bringing that advice, and it's just advice, to the White House, the Office of Management and Budget, and to Congress. So it's not like Elon's going to be able to just cut things out of the budget himself. These are just ideas that he'll bring to others.
It's a really interesting point because I think for a lot of people, we hear about the Department of Government Efficiency, and it sounds like a government department because it has both department and government in the title. But it's not that. It's kind of just a
It's a joke fun. That Elon made because he wanted to put Doge in the title.
And if you're like, oh, it's all because of Dogecoin, not really. It's because Elon was on the internet in the early days and Doge was an early meme on the internet, which was just a picture of a Shiba Inu dog and it said Doge on it. And that was funny back then. And he likes to continue that joke because he's a purist.
That's right. So according to Bloomberg, President-elect Trump's team is reportedly planning to prioritize new regulations and laws to usher in the age of self-driving cars.
Okay, so how does this work? I mean, I know that right now, NHTSA is allowing Waymo, Cruise, and others to test their full self-driving cars in places like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Austin. So why do we need to change anything for Tesla to start its robotaxi network when its software is ready?
Well, right now, NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which is a federal agency, allows manufacturers as many as 2,500 self-driving cars to pick up passengers, okay? But this is under a granted exemption to their rules. Nobody anticipated self-driving cars when the regulations were written, so exemptions have been NHTSA's workaround so far. The problem is, as the number of robotaxis increases in the U.S., as we're going to report on later in the show, actually, NHTSA hasn't increased their exemption limit of 2,500, even though there's been calls to expand it to as many as 100,000. Now, what it appears that the incoming Trump administration is doing, now, conjecture alert. Hey, conjecture time. I think that Elon, who obviously has the incoming president's ear, has been educating the transition team about what is about to happen in transportation.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Robotaxis are the future. If you watch this show regularly, you know that already. If the U.S. is ready for this new technology by having laws and regulations in place, both laws that Congress will have to enact and regulations that agencies like NHTSA will have to promulgate, then the federal government won't be holding back the technology like it is now. Instead, agencies like NHTSA will be ready to look at the data and allow robotaxis to drive when they're ready to do so.
And so basically, existing laws just never considered that humans wouldn't be the ones driving the cars.
Exactly.
We are now in a new century, and our laws have to keep up.
Exactly.
I mean, it's sort of like you can go back and look at laws, and it's like, you can't drive your sheep down Main Street on Thursdays at 12.
And the thing is, a lot of those laws still exist. We just ignore them.
Yeah, because even a whole bunch of states are ready with autonomous driving laws. I mean, I was surprised at how much the list has grown from just California and Arizona. I mean, look at this.
Yeah, and the sad part is all these states have had to do this because there's been no leadership from the federal government on this issue. I mean, smart people in these states knew that if their state didn't have some kind of law allowing for self-driving, that they would be left out.
And let's face it, humans are lousy drivers. About 2.3 million people sustain injuries in auto accidents every year here in the U.S.
And that's just in the U.S. Over 40,000 people die in the U.S. every year in auto accidents.
If you drive on U.S. roads, you know that many humans should not be driving.
And look, whether you like the incoming administration or not, I am so happy for all of us that Elon is finally being listened to by the government as opposed to, well, don't listen to that guy. He's crazy. Mary, you're awesome. Freedom! So Tesla's latest over-the-air software update, 2024.38.4, is being transmitted to Teslas as we speak, and we thought we'd share some of the new features and improvements.
According to Not a Tesla app, one of the biggies is Sentry Mode battery drain.
So typically when you have Sentry Mode on, you're using about 7 to 14% of your battery in a 24-hour period. Earlier this year, Tesla said it was working on code to reduce the power usage of Sentry Mode by 40%, and now it appears that 38.4 is bringing those changes to Cybertruck first.
So how is Tesla able to do this?
Well, according to Not a Tesla app, right now the vehicle needs to keep its FSD and MCU, which is the infotainment computers, on to process videos from the vehicle's cameras. But Tesla is changing the way its onboard cameras process video to make Sentry Mode use much more efficient. Maybe they're shutting down parts of those computers.
Yeah, it used to be that Sentry Mode was connected to the ultrasonic sensors, the distance sensors on the car, and ultrasonic sensors don't use that much energy. Mm-hmm. They're just going like click, bing. It's kind of like sonar where like boom, boom, you know, where the sound bounces back. However, with this new system, yeah, it has to keep the full self-driving computer on to be like, is there anyone around the car? What is that? Let me think about what that might look like. That looks sort of like a person. Definitely. Hey, they're getting close to the car. And all of this is taking a lot of energy instead of just going like, boom, boom. Oh, there's something close to the car. Record.
Right.
The next feature coming with 38.4 is service history. It's the ability for service technicians, both Teslas and third party, to log repair history in their vehicles.
Well, that sounds boring.
Actually, owners can access this mode as well and enter routine maintenance that they have done to their cars.
Maintenance?
You know, like adding washer fluid.
Okay.
Not a Tesla app says service history is permanent and stays with the vehicle. Once entries are added, they cannot be edited or removed, so there's no tampering with a vehicle's service history. And they point out that the real benefit is when the Tesla is serviced by different technicians. So say you brought your Tesla to a third-party tech, your Tesla tech can now see what work they performed.
So if I want to enter something myself, what do I do?
You go to service history, which is accessible directly on the main panel of the service mode. And then you select a correction code for, say, adding washer fluid or changing a windshield wiper. That way you have a record on when you did it.
And hopefully this new feature will help reduce Tesla's service wait times and improve quality.
And instead of having to be like, I know that I brought this in and you guys said that you fixed it, but it didn't work. They can go back through that actual log and say like, oh, you know what? It's because he took it to the, you know, the tire place down the street and they bent some tie rod or something.
Right. I mean, this is the problem is that if you don't have access to Tesla's service program right now, then you can't put that information in. So now having it live in the car is pretty cool.
Are most non-Tesla mechanics going to know how to do that? Because I've met a lot of mechanics who don't know how to unlock the car.
Right. Yeah, there needs to be some more education. So Ashok, Tesla's head of AI, just posted last Wednesday, with the latest release of 12.5.6.3, FSD is using end-to-end neural networks for driving across highways, city streets, and parking lots, and has now shipped widely for AI4 vehicles. Highway driving should be smoother, more natural, and even safer than the previous explicit control stack. Check out the different driving styles to set speed and lane change preferences. Enjoy and let Tesla AI know if you have any feedback.
And senior staff engineer Yunta Sai said it took us 2 years to unified previous single stack version 11. Now it took us less than a year version 12. Less heuristic equals easier to scale, accelerating.
And Elon posted the same.
You can get an Optimus for $40 on the Tesla store.
What did you just say? An Optimus for $40?
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, they're sold out. Wait a minute.
It's an Optimus 1 to 10 scale action figure. That's why it's only $40.
And oh, okay.
It also doesn't, you know, function.
Wouldn't that be cool if it was actually an autonomous little
like,
robot?
Well, we thought, you know, we'd start small. And
it'd be like in Rick and Morty with the butter robot.
Sure.
What is my purpose?
Pass the butter.
Tesla sold out within 24 hours of putting it on their page.
Wow, it is so cool, though. It has over 40 individual parts and 20 points of articulation. I mean, I need one, but of course it's sold out.
I'm going to wait for the big one.
Totally. But
the one that can actually, you know, do my homework.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so cool.
Not that I have homework anymore. Dang it. So we've reported before on how the rental car company Hertz bought 100,000 Teslas for its fleet for $4.2 billion back in 2021.
Now, this seemed to be working out well for Hertz, but then they lost their CEO, Paul Stone, at the end of 2021, and their new interim CEO, Mark Fields, a former CEO of Ford, started freaking out because Hertz's Teslas didn't retain their value like he thought they should. So he started selling them into the used car market. During Hertz's latest Q3 earnings call, Hertz again reiterated that they are going to sell 30,000 of their remaining EVs by the end of this year.
So if you're in the market for a used Model 3, Model Y, Chevy Bolt, Hyundai Kona, Volvo C40, and more, check out Hertz's website.
Yeah, I mean, I checked this out. Most of them have really low miles, like 15 to 30,000 miles. And Hertz has a ton of Bolt EUVs. So if you're in for a Bolt. But look, I think this is a stupid move by Hertz, okay?
How stupid do we look?
Because the whole point of getting electric cars was what? To lower their costs, right? Mm-hmm. Maintenance on ICE cars is a lot of money. That's why they usually sell them when they get into that period. But these cars look new for years. Like, you get into a Tesla, it doesn't matter whether it's 2018, 2019, it still looks new.
And that's why this is such a good deal for people. Yes. To buy them right now, because unlike a traditional rental where, you know, obviously nobody knows what all these people did with their rentals. Oh, there was a guy redlining it for 15 miles or whatever. With an electric car, there is no such thing as redlining it. You don't have gaskets. You don't have to worry about that being blown. Paul Stone seemed to understand why you would buy Teslas. You would buy them and then rent them out for a long time. However, you get some nitwit like Mark Fields coming in and he goes, wait a minute, why did we spend so much money on these cars that we then have to sell in like a year? Because that's how rental companies usually do it. They buy the cars, they rent them out for like a year because they're not going to last much longer than that. And so if you completely ignore the benefits of an electric car, then yeah, it doesn't make any business sense. But if you actually understood that a Tesla was going to last you probably 150,000 miles, then it does make sense. But they didn't understand it and we get to benefit from it.
Exactly. Plus, I think you can get the $4,000 used car credit. So awesome. Take advantage of it. All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup. Last Wednesday, NHTSA announced a recall of 2,431 Cybertrucks, citing a potential issue with a drive inverter that could cause a loss of drive power to the wheels.
Yeah, NHTSA said the subject population includes certain model year 2024 Cybertrucks manufactured between November 6th of 2023 and July 30th of 2024 that are or were equipped with metal oxide semiconductor field effect transistors, or MOSFET, in the drive inverter. The affected population includes vehicles equipped with the inverter part number, blah, blah, blah. And so you can check and see if yours is part of that problem. But I think Tesla will just reach out to you if they are.
The first problem related to this failed part occurred on July 31st.
Tesla investigated and by October 23rd had confirmed that the issue was related to certain VINs with the specific drive inverter.
This is the sixth Cybertruck recall. There were previous recalls for the accelerator pedal, improperly adhered bed trim, problems with the front wiper, and the rear view camera malfunctions.
And these are pretty normal for a new vehicle. We have numerous recalls on the Ford Lightning and the Rivian R1T as well. And I think we've been spared. So a lot of people are like, is your Cybertruck affected? It doesn't appear to have been.
Yep.
And sadly, that was a recall that you're actually going to have to either bring it into service center or maybe let us know in the comments below. I'm not sure if a service technician can actually come out and change something like that. I feel like that's a biggie.
It's a big one.
Elon posted, while others partied, Cybertruck studied the blade. And yeah, that is a big blade. We haven't had to change the windshield wiper yet, but when we do, I feel like we should make a video of it.
And you understand the nature of a thing. You know what it's capable of.
Like, I have no idea how easy that's going
to
be.
I think you just bring it to Tesla. I think the video is going to be, we're bringing it to Tesla. And then we just picked it up and we have a new blade.
I know, but it's one of those things that you can actually feel like you did something on your car, you know?
Not with this one.
Hey, and if you want to learn about Cybertruck, and especially from owners who know what it is now, go to the Cybertruck Owners Club. They help support the show. And there you're going to find this amazing forum where you can find answers to, like, how to change a windshield wiper blade. So do you like to go e-biking with your family, but you have kids and they can't really ride yet?
Then we may have the e-bike for you, the Engwei LE20. We reviewed it on our other channel. Now let's review.
So look at this nice big backseat area. It can be used for cargo, but also Engwei has this really nice, I'll call it a cage. It's not really a cage, but it helps keep your kids safe. That way they can come along for a ride.
And the best part is that Engwei covered the dangerous parts with these nice fiberglass shields on either side of the rear wheel so that kids don't get their legs and feet injured.
And the LE20 has torque sensing, which I can't really believe they pulled off at this price point.
Not to mention hydraulic brakes.
So that's why I like our job of reviewing all these e-mobility products, because until you try them it can be very hard to really understand them. You see them on websites and stuff, and you're like, I don't understand what's the difference between this bike and that bike. I hope our reviews can make features like this more apparent.
And that you find the e-bike that fits your needs and budget. And if you have kids, check out this review.
So back in June, you may remember that Rivian and Volkswagen entered into a joint venture called Rivian and VW Group Technology LLC.
That name just flows off the tongue.
It was announced as a $5 billion deal to help Rivian with cash and help VW with software. So now Rivian and VW have announced that they are expanding their joint venture and pumping in more investment, another $800 million. CEO of Rivian, RJ Scaringe, not Steve-O from the TV show Jackass.
Wow, they really do look alike.
RJ said, today's finalization of our joint venture with Volkswagen Group marks an important step forward in helping transition the world to electric vehicles. We're thrilled to see our technology being integrated in vehicles outside of Rivian, and we're excited for the future. Rivian will continue to stay focused on creating best-in-class products and services that benefit our customers, helping to drive EV adoption.
So I get that Rivian needs cash to stay afloat, and I get that Volkswagen needs the software, but really? Volkswagen is that desperate for software that they need to spend over $5 billion?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's ultimately a deal of desperation rather than a true synergy. But VW reports that teams from Rivian and Volkswagen Group have already successfully demonstrated the potential of their collaboration. In just 12 weeks, the team developed an initial drivable demonstrator vehicle. A Volkswagen Group vehicle has been retrofitted to run on Rivian's proven in-market zonal hardware design and integrated technology platform. The drivable demonstrator vehicle not only highlights the scalability and integration capabilities of both companies, but it also further proves the concept for the joint venture.
So in true big auto fashion, VW just found themselves another supplier.
Exactly. That's well put. I mean, VW outsourced Rivian to be their software supplier, except in my opinion, Rivian software is nowhere near as good as Tesla's. And VW still has the problem that they buy all these different parts for their electric cars from different suppliers, and then they have to make them talk to each other and work together.
Not to mention firmware updates for all of those individual parts.
Yeah, Tesla is so vertically integrated, you feel it when you drive one of their vehicles. The software is seamless. And let me give you an example. I get into our Rivian after a software update, and wait, why is the backup cam so slow to respond now?
Rivian has all of these pretty art renderings of the truck, but now many of the functions seem slower.
Yeah, I mean, now I can't unlock the truck. Literally, I walked up to the truck the other day, and even with my wristband, my fancy Rivian wristband, wouldn't work. Then I take out the phone app, doesn't work. I take out the fob, doesn't work. The Rivian is hard to wake from its sleep. It's like software basics 101, and somehow Rivian missed that class. And I just want to point out, these partnerships are not new. Honda and GM, Ford and VW, Toyota and BYD, they all tried partnering to help with their EVs, right? That's not going to work. What's going to work is attracting the best talent. And the best talent now knows not to go to these companies. Because if you're into this stuff, if you're like, I'm the best electrical engineer, I'm going to go work for Ford. No, you're not.
We asked our patrons this week for our Patreon poll if Rivian will survive. We'll see what they think later in the show.
And speaking of Rivian, RJ Scaringe posted on X, exciting week in Normal, Illinois. Construction of our expansion for R2 is underway.
Hello.
Rivian Chief Operations Manager Javier Varela said, Rivian R2 is one step closer to coming to market. We broke ground in Normal, Illinois to begin expanding the plant to build R2 in addition to our current products. R2 is our new fully electric mid-sized SUV coming in 2026 with a range of more than 300 miles and a starting price of around $45,000. The existing Rivian plant in Normal, Illinois has 2.6 million square feet of manufacturing space, and Rivian's expansion will add another 1.14 million square feet.
Now let's just hope for Rivian's sake that they can make the R2 profitably.
Here's hoping.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound. Limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's time for the Starman Report. Take it away, Eli.
Welcome back to the Starman Report. I'm Eli Burton, your host, and in this week's update, we are covering NASA's latest advancements in supersonic travel and talking about SpaceX's ambitious plans for the Starship launch system. NASA's Quest program is pioneering quieter supersonic flight with its first engine tests in Palmdale, California. By aiming to reduce the disruptive sonic boom down to a soft thump, the X-59 plans to make supersonic travel over U.S. land feasible. The FAA doesn't allow supersonic booms over the United States soil, making this advancement critical if we ever want to have supersonic air travel for commercial air travel customers. The X-59 is designed to cruise at altitudes of 55,000 feet and reach speeds of Mach 1.4. And it's powered by a robust engine that's also used to power the F-18 Super Hornet. The success of the X-59 program could mean a substantial slash in travel for emergency situations and for long-distance travel. Due to its innovative design, the X-59 lacks a forward-facing window. Instead, pilots will use an external vision system, or XVS, which employs cameras and augmented reality to provide essential visual information, circumventing traditional cockpit limitations. What all this means is pilots are seeing via a virtual display instead of looking out traditional windows. Switching our focus now to SpaceX, Gwynne Shotwell spoke at an investor conference this weekend where she highlighted the importance of the Starship launch system to the SpaceX's company's future. Gwynne Shotwell expressed that while Starlink is transforming into a significant revenue stream for SpaceX, its Starship is poised to redefine the aerospace industry. This fully reusable spacecraft aims to lower cost of space travel, making it more accessible. Starship is not just about launching more satellites. In the future, it may be able to retrieve and repair them while they're still in orbit. This capability could extend the life of expensive hardware and also reduce the amount of waste up in space. And SpaceX is planning an ambitious future with Starship, planning to achieve 400 flights in just 4 years. The total impact and use cases of the Starship is yet to be even fully known, but this kind of reduction in cost and mass to orbit is going to change this planet forever. Well, guys, that's all for this time. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode of the Starman Report, and I look forward to having you back for more of the most exciting news in space.
Thanks, Eli. And in more SpaceX news, last Tuesday, SpaceX posted Starship moved to the pad at Starbase in advance of our sixth flight test.
SpaceX posted targeting Tuesday, November 19th. That's today. For Starship's sixth flight test, a 30-minute launch window opens at 4 p.m. CT. Hey, that's pretty soon if you're watching this live.
That's right. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Godspeed.
Elon then tweeted, Starlink now available in Chad.
Where's Chad again?
It's right here in the middle of Africa.
Oh, wow.
Perfect place for Starlink.
Exactly.
SpaceX posted the Falcon 9 launches the KoreaSat 6A mission to orbit from Florida and lands on landing zone 1.
SpaceX posted deployment of KoreaSat 6A satellite confirmed.
KoreaSat 6A deploy confirmed.
And you know what? There's so many launches this week. I mean, there was the Falcon 9 delivering 24 more satellites. There was Falcon 9 lifting off for its 17th mission in 31 days. And then there was four launches from all four launch pads. I mean, it's just insane this week how many launches there were.
And NASA has extended SpaceX's contract to continue bringing cargo to and from the International Space Station because, of course, they've extended it. Who else would they get to do it?
The contract was set to expire at the end of 2026. Now it will continue through the end of 2030. By the way, since we've been talking about Doge, SpaceX charges NASA around $200 per kilogram to bring cargo to ISS versus, get this, their previous contractor, which was the space shuttle, used to cost $25,600 per kilogram, over 100x reduction in cost by SpaceX.
So, I mean, that's like, okay, you pay Uber $12 to drive you across town or whatever. That would be like if previously it used to cost $1,200.
Yeah.
What? You would have never traveled across town. I'm amazed that we even had the space shuttle.
Yep.
Wow.
So you're looking for a super cool...
Cool.
High-tech backpack to replace that lame one you currently have? Check this out. It's the latest Starlink backpack from Starlink for $199.
So it doesn't include Starlink, but it keeps your Starlink standard safe while you're on the go.
Yeah.
So why not get the Starlink Mini instead?
Well, I mean, the Mini costs $599. The standard costs $349. But I agree with you. The Mini is really cool. It's really small. You can get Roam Unlimited for $165 a month versus Roam with a 50 gig limit per month for $50 a month. So it really does depend on how much, you know, bandwidth you need.
That's interesting.
Ontario signs a $100 million deal with Elon Musk's Starlink system. And Doug Ford, the governor, minister, I don't know what you call them up in Canada, but the head of Ontario said, we're partnering with Starlink to use the latest technology to bring high-speed internet to 15,000 more homes and businesses in remote areas across Ontario.
And Elon said, cool.
Cool.
And Starlink posted that high-speed connectivity coming soon to a rail line near you.
Starlink is coming to Scotland's Far North Line.
That's cool. All right, time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
This is the Henson Razor. It is made out of solid aluminum, although it does have a tungsten bushing in it because it's super duper cool. This is the best razor that I've ever used. I know that I have a beard now. Thank you to Henson for allowing me to grow a beard, because before, my face would not have really liked to have grown a beard. Months of using the Henson razor allowed me to grow a beard, which is, thank you very much. If you want to get this, it's an excellent, excellent gift. Head over to HensonShaving.com. Use our code Now You Know when you check out, and you get a box of 100 blades for free. Escape into the future. So last year, Waymo, the self-driving taxi company, started offering rides in Los Angeles to a limited number of users.
Today, Waymo has announced that they've opened up the wait list of 300,000 people waiting. So now everyone in LA can hail a Waymo 24 hours a day using the Waymo One app.
From Santa Monica to Hollywood Boulevard to USC and everything in between.
So if you live in LA or you're visiting, please share some video of you riding with us here at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. Oh, and in June, Waymo did a similar thing and dropped its wait list in San Francisco. All right, it's time for Going Green.
The consulting and strategy company Accenture just released the results from a new survey, What Electric Drivers Want.
Accenture surveyed 6,000 car buyers from the US, Italy, Germany, France, China, and Japan.
In the survey, they found that 43% of non-EV drivers are considering an EV for their next purchase.
That's huge. I mean, I've not seen numbers like this previously.
57% of drivers will have adopted an EV within the next 10 years.
I mean, I think it's going to be 100%, but okay.
They found that 23% of people surveyed who don't currently own an EV said that they see themselves buying one within the next 5 years.
So the rest don't really need a new car in the next 5 years. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. 47% of drivers are convinced that the future belongs to EVs.
So that even includes non-EV owners.
And in 2023, 14 million EVs were sold globally, a 35% year-over-year increase.
Interesting. I like it when there's 6,000 people in the survey, because then at least you feel like you've got a big enough group of people to really mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And you may remember that we interviewed the co-founder and CEO of Climatize, Will Wiseman, earlier this year.
He co-founded Climatize as a way for individuals to have access to solar energy projects that are raising funds. Their platform is super easy to use, and you can simply go to climatize.earth/NYK.
So the way it works is you go to Climatize's website, you set up an account. If you choose to invest, you can do so with as little as $10. There's no investor fees, and this is open to all U.S. bank account holders over the age of 18. So you don't need to be accredited or anything special.
You can look through their investment offerings and choose a project you'd like to support.
And one of the best parts, I think, is that these investments will pay up to 10% annual target returns.
And you're investing your money into solar energy projects across the U.S.
So, did we get your attention? I thought so.
Use our referral code NYK023 to get $25 in free credit once you complete your onboarding process.
So check them out, but kindly remember that we're not financial advisors, so do your own research.
Thank you to Climatize for sponsoring our show.
All right, time for sunspots.
So we talked last week about how it's hot right now in the Southern Hemisphere, as it's summer in places like Australia.
And when the sun shines bright and there are solar panels to collect all that energy and convert it into electricity, well, case in point, last Monday at 1:30 p.m. in Western Australia, rooftop solar, that's just rooftop, delivered a milestone of 80.5% share of electricity generation.
That's 2.12 gigawatts of output.
Yeah, so natural gas and coal both only contributed 8.6 and 8.3% respectively.
In the state of Western Australia, over 400,000 homes and businesses have solar panels installed.
Elon said solar power will be the vast majority of power generation in the future. And speaking of Western Australia, the world's biggest wind and solar project is being planned for a remote desert region of Western Australia. The Western Green Energy Hub has filed their permits with the state.
This will be a, get this, 70 gigawatt project. That's as big as all of Australia's existing grid.
That's what she said.
If built as proposed, this project will have 35 million solar panels and 3,000 wind turbines. Hello, Solar Panels Unlimited.
Yes, I was wondering if you could give a discount for bulk purchases.
You would have to buy at least 3 pallets of solar panels before we could offer you a discount on our panels.
Oh, I'm going to get way more than that.
So it's going to be built on 15,000 square kilometers of land area.
It's planned to start construction next year and reach full capacity in 2032.
Now, how much is this going to cost to build?
$100 billion or $65 billion.
But you know, that's a big number, but that's still less than a buck a watt.
That's insane. So I want to go back to the rooftop solar thing.
Mm-hmm.
So 80% of the grid was being supplied by just rooftops.
Yep.
And not all of the houses in Western Australia have solar on the roof.
Nope, just 400,000.
So it just goes to prove that if you cover everyone's house in solar panels, you don't need any power plants.
Exactly. It's kind of obvious.
You do need twice the amount of power generation, and then you need to store it in batteries. But again, we're not fully there yet.
Nope.
And also, it isn't just rooftop solar.
Well, and those batteries can be your cars.
Exactly. Uh-oh, I see more of those gold balloons.
Hello, this is Bryce from Party 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 calling for the guy who ordered like 1,000 gold helium balloons.
I didn't order 1,000 balloons. I ordered 4 gold balloons that spell 1,000.
Well, like that's cool and all, but like, can you help me get down?
Are you at the front gate?
Kinda. I can see the gate, but I'm like above it, you know, like in the air.
Tesla Energy posted congrats on the Tesla Nevada team on building 1,000 Powerwalls in a single day. So there are now more than 750,000 Powerwalls deployed worldwide.
And over 100,000 of those Powerwalls are deployed in VPPs or virtual power plants.
Wow, so that's 1.35 gigawatt hours of VPP storage.
Yeah. The US, Canada, Germany, the UK, and Western Australia all have access to the new Tesla Powerwall 3, while the rest of the world is still only getting Powerwall 2s. Hey, and if you'd like to get some Powerwalls in your house, but you're like, I'm not sure what to do, solar batteries, is this the best one?
And if you want to be part of like getting solar panels on your roof, which is a really cool thing to do, talk to our friends over at EnergyPal. They know all of the answers about solar energy and about batteries, and they'll talk to you, they'll help you get all set up, they'll answer your questions, and they'll do it all for free. So go contact them, let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you.
All right, time for our video contributor stories. Remember, this is the part of the show where we need you. Send your stories to us, send them at 2 minutes or less, shoot them in landscape with good audio, no music, and send them to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Joe just got his Greenworks Zero Turn.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is Joe from Rochester, New York, and I'm here to talk to you about my electric Zero Turn from Greenworks.
This Zero Turn model has a 42-inch cut. It comes with 6 82-volt, 5 amp-hour batteries that are removable. They can be placed in other attachments, such as string trimmers and blowers. This string trimmer here has a detachable lower end, so you can put on the edger attachment. I also added the bagger for grass collection and leaves. Features include, this model will do 2 acres on a single charge. It has headlights, good for mowing in early spring and late fall. 300-pound tow hitch. 200-pound weight capacity for the truck bed, high and low blade speed settings, 4 1-kilowatt electric motors, one for each blade and one for each wheel, as well as significantly lower maintenance.
As for maintenance, you have to do your typical sharpening your blades, cleaning the underside of the deck, checking your tire pressures. For winterization, all you do is charge up the batteries, put them in your house for winter storage, and that's it. Now I want to show you where the battery box is. It's right here under the seat. Has the 6 5 amp hour batteries. That's how big they are. Put those in your blower, your string trimmer, chainsaw, whatever you got. Also here is the little truck bed. Fit up to about 200 pounds worth of weight, as well as the tow hitch, which we regularly haul my landscape trailer, 5x8 foot trailer, haul up, you know, sand, stone, gravel, mulch, whatever you like, leaves. This actually got brought about by one of your videos about small engines and how they produce a lot more emissions than even road cars do. So myself and my neighbor, we sold our gas tractor style mowers and we purchased this. And now I cut both lots. And so in summary, I would definitely recommend this to anyone that has a bigger yard. Now you know.
Oh my God, Joe, there's so many parts of this I love. I love that you share that with your neighbor. That is so smart. I mean, we should all be doing that. I love the fact that it's quiet. I mean, I You can talk, like, that's amazing. You can tow. You can store the batteries over the winter, and there's no winterization you have to do. I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the spring you're like, oh, I got to get my carburetor serviced. Awesome. More of you do that. Thank you so much, Joe. All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. Remember, if you want to support the show for as little as a buck a month, get to see all of our Patreon bonus stories. Those are stories we just can't fit into the show. Head on over to patreon.com/nowyouknow. Support us, and we'll see you there. All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the poll.
Do you think that Rivian will survive?
2/3 said yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I don't know how long, but...
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. Shibutoshi Nakamoto says, thank you, phone, for reminding me that I'm a loser.
Elon said, wow, I don't even want to look at mine.
Kai Trump said, Elon achieving uncle status.
Elon said, little X is being such a troll.
Elon says, you'll not find a better friend than me, nor a worse enemy. Alex says, just when you thought Jalopnik couldn't get any dumber. Breaking, Elon Musk has no idea how the speed of light or satellite communication works.
Elon said, they are subtarded. A string of satellites increases bandwidth, not latency.
Little Humans Big Impact says, I hope the Doge can delete daylight savings time.
Elon said, yes.
Chamath Palihapitiya said, zero-based budgeting, know my name.
Elon said, yes. What's zero-based budgeting?
So, you know how in government you start every year and it's like, we're going to pick up where we left off last year. So, we had $1 million budget. This year, we have a $1.1 million budget.
Oh, right. And then that means that you want to try and use everything. You're like, oh, don't be efficient or anything.
Right. Use all the paper clips.
Yeah, use as much as you can, because right. If you don't, then next year you won't get that.
There's no incentive to being efficient.
I see.
It's zero budgeting means you start with zero every year. See. Elon said, so what would you say you do here? Elon said, 99 federal agencies is more than enough. Incentives matter. There should be rewards for wise spending, but those who waste taxpayer funds cannot be allowed to keep doing so without consequences. The approved cookie banner is super annoying. It should be removed.
I agree.
All actions of the Department of Government Efficiency will be posted online for maximum transparency. Anytime the public thinks we are cutting something important or not cutting something wasteful, just let us know. We will also have a leaderboard for most insanely dumb spending of your tax dollars. This will be both extremely tragic and extremely entertaining.
Elon said tunnels will be important on Mars.
And then he reposted the Boring Company that said the proof rock fits nicely in the Starship payload bay.
It's all connected, people.
Senator Elizabeth Warren from our great state of Massachusetts says the Office of Government Efficiency is off to a great start with split leadership. Two people to do the work of one person. Yeah, this seems really efficient.
And Elon says, unlike you, neither of us are being paid. So it's very efficient indeed. Doge will do great things for the American people. Let history be the judge. Is she also ignoring the fact that she has 30 staffers?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Vivek says the stuffed suits have no idea what's coming.
Elon says true.
Elon said the sheer magnitude of government waste is staggering to behold. We will do weekly Doge updates via live stream.
Well, that'll be fun. Elon says unless we do something about the rapidly rising national debt, America will go bankrupt. This is a severe crisis. Our interest payments at almost a quarter of national tax revenue already exceed our military expenditures and are heading towards absorbing all tax revenue.
Elon then said, yeah, I have to say that cutting this much waste will make a lot of bad people angry. We'll need extra tight security. And he said the magnitude of the waste is beyond what the public could possibly imagine. Alex says, I get the unbridled enthusiasm of wanting to be part of something of profound historical significance like the Doge, but I think people don't quite realize that the task at hand will require a monumental amount of tedious, super high quality work.
Elon said, indeed, this will be tedious work, make lots of enemies, and compensation is zero. What a great deal.
Elon went on to say the excess government spending is what causes inflation. All government spending is taxation. This is a very important concept to appreciate. It is either direct taxation like income tax or indirect via inflation due to increasing the money supply. And then as we can see here, CNN and MSNBC, they're all cutting back because no one's watching them anymore.
And Elon said the legacy media is dying.
Elon said the Democratic Party Senate candidate in Pennsylvania is trying to change the outcome of the election by counting non-citizen votes, which is illegal. That has been their goal all along. They are just flat out openly doing crime now.
Elon said the hammer of justice is coming.
Peter Diamantis says, according to Elon, the future of abundance will involve 10 billion humanoid robots and personalized AIs by 2040.
Elon said it's not for sure going to be good, but probably 80% likely.
Baptiste says in 2014, Elon gave away Tesla's secrets to BMW. Everyone thought he was crazy, but this act of charity was actually the most ruthless business move in corporate history.
Elon said, no, it actually was an act of charity, but we can't force other companies to make great electric vehicles. That is not within our power. At SpaceX, we don't even bother with patents. Copy our rockets if you want.
That's why China and Russia are copying them.
They're like, sure, we will do that. Not that they will be successful.
Chris Mann said, some are calling Elon the George Soros of the right. That's not really accurate. He's more like 44 George Soros of the right.
Elon says, more accurate would be that I'm George Soros of the middle. I don't want the pendulum to swing too far to the right. But right now, it's just too far left.
Ben Longmire says three more launches to complete the first satellite constellation for Starlink direct to cell.
And Elon said almost there.
Aaron Stupple responded to the quote that Elon never corrects his mistakes by saying he got where he is by correcting mistakes faster than his competition. He is a mistake correction master.
Elon says rockets don't get to orbit unless you correct a lot of mistakes.
Geiger Capital says Trump plans to kill the $7,500 EV tax credit, has support from Tesla. Elon is literally putting the country above his own financial interests at this point. Hard to say otherwise. Otherwise, Patriot.
Elon said, in my view, we should end all government subsidies, including those for EVs, oil, and gas.
Shibutoshi Nakamoto says, it is amazing how many lies the average person believes thanks to the media.
Elon says, this is so true. Please send X.com links to friends so they know what's really going on.
The Hill said that Democratic senators call for a federal probe into Musk's contact with Russia.
Elon says, I'm going to find out who's making these accusations and nuke them.
Nate Esparza says, all right, when is Musk versus Zuck?
Elon said, anytime, any place, any rules are fine by me.
The America PAC says the Pentagon just failed its seventh audit in a row. The nation's largest government agency is unable to fully account for its budget of over $824 billion.
Elon says, sounds like a job for Doge.
Elon says there will be consequences for those who pushed foreign interference hoaxes. The hammer of justice is coming. That seems to be his favorite phrase this week. The rabbit hole says, as of 2015, the United States tax code and regulations are over 10 million words in length. In 1955, they were under 1.5 million words.
And Elon says, wow, this needs to be greatly simplified.
Now, if you want to know what 10 million words looks like, that is 21 Lord of the Rings trilogies. That is 70,000 pages. That's our tax code.
And if you do it wrong, you're
in trouble. Elon says there has been an increase both in love and in hate for me due to the inherently tribal nature of politics. Alex says, do you know that Neuralink makes its own ASICs in-house?
What are ASICs?
Application-specific integrated circuits.
Oh. And Elon says we do a lot in-house because there is no supplier who can make several of our key technologies.
And then lastly, Elon said open dialogue between opposing viewpoints is vital to a healthy democracy. Well, that sounds like a Nazi to me. All right, it's time for community mail time.
Brian spotted these wrapped Cybertrucks at a bagel store in San Dimas, California.
Wait, that wasn't an EV show? That's just a bagel store?
That was just your average day.
Awesome. Rob got these shots of Tesla's South Loop location.
Wow. A lot of EVs in Chicago. Oleg wrote in. He said, hope you mentioned this on the show. I have a Model 3 2021 that I love. I also subscribe to Full Self-Driving for $100 a month, which I also love. My problem is that my Model 3 is honestly too much fun to drive, so I don't use Full Self-Driving feature as much as I could. I know that's a terrible problem to have, sarcasm, but it's true. I pretty much only use Full Self-Driving because I don't want to feel like I'm wasting $100 a month like I do on my gym membership.
You can pause it, you know.
Tesla made the car too good to let somebody else drive it. Sincerely, Oleg.
That's awesome.
It is tough. It depends on where you live and it depends on what you're doing.
Too bad you can't pause it for the moment. You have to pause it for the month.
Wait till you can just go to sleep, though.
Yeah. Dell spotted the Chevy Silverado owned by the LA Department of Power.
Christian spotted this Fisker Ocean in Gatineau, Quebec, Canada.
Svetlin spotted this Cybertruck in Bulgaria.
Bulgaria? Has Baron Bomburst finally gotten his car?
What?
Baron Bomburst?
You have never heard of Baron Bomburst? Ruler of Bulgaria? The most evil man in the world.
No, I want the claw! I want the claw! I must have it!
Oh, Bulgaria. I'm sorry, Bulgarians.
Where's Bulgaria?
It's in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. David spotted some aliens. Look out! A spaceship! Oh, that's just a Cybertruck and his Halloween decorations.
Rav decorated for Halloween as well. Wow, that's cool.
Garrett spotted this Halloween-themed Cybertruck in Tempe, Arizona. That's good.
Quinn spotted this non-Foundation series in Colorado.
One of our viewers spotted this Cybertruck towing some leaves.
Not Nissan. Steven spotted this Lotus Elettre and a Polestar 4 in the UK.
John spotted this Cybertruck at SEMA. Look at the bull bars on that thing.
Oh, I want that.
I want that because then you could just be like, gush.
Brian was in Florida when he met a guy renting a Hyundai who couldn't charge.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. I'm at the Lantana Supercharger with a beautiful matte black Cybertruck. And this is a great supercharger. Unfortunately, there's this young man who's rented this Hyundai. They didn't tell him where to charge it. He has no adapter. He's nearly out of juice. I feel sorry for him. I told him he should have bought a Tesla. He's renting it. But they didn't tell him how to charge it, where to charge it, and gave him no adapter. So I've tried to tell him to go to a supercharger with a magic dock. But this is really the feature here. Have a great day.
They rented him the car and they didn't give him an adapter, so he was...
out of luck.
Out of luck.
Gary spotted these EVs on a trip to Morocco.
Garrett spotted this blue Cybertruck in Phoenix, Arizona.
And Brian was at the Delray Tesla Center in Florida. Check out the line of people buying Teslas. And we're going to talk about that today on one of our shows, one of our bonus shows. All right, it's time for EV Tip of the Week. And the other day, I was helping my dad to get used to our new Model Y. And I got to see through his eyes kind of the learning curve. So my dad, of course, helped us convert our 1975 MG Midget from ICE to EV. And as an electrical engineer from MIT, he really does understand electric cars now. But the software in a Tesla can be kind of daunting. And I've heard from a bunch of older drivers that one of the reasons why they're kind of afraid to get in a Tesla is that it's so different than a regular car, like where you hop in and kind of there's a button for everything you need, right? So an easy tip here is that if you have a Tesla and you'd like to invite someone else to drive it using the Tesla app, that you need to go into your Tesla app first, go to security and drivers, then go to manage drivers, and then click add driver. So there you will send an invitation either through email or text to whoever it is you want to invite. Then they will click on that invitation. They'll get the Tesla app up and running and they'll go through a few more steps and then they'll be added as a driver so that they can use the Tesla app as their key. It takes a few minutes, although sometimes it can only take a few seconds. We had a couple hiccups, mainly they were phone related, but then we were good to go. So my advice would be to do this well in advance of, say, heading to the airport or some other stressful event. I would advise doing it when you have a few minutes so you don't feel rushed. The reason I'm saying this is because I almost did it the wrong way through the screen in my car the other day, and I would have transferred the ownership of the car to my father. So my advice to Tesla is to make this a bit more clear and on that screen to like talk about how you should invite them through the app and explain it clearly. I think there's this technological divide between people, right? You either fall into the super tech category where all the stuff just kind of makes sense to you, or you fall into the not so techie category where out of an abundance of caution, you might read things the wrong way. I just think that Tesla should have someone in their group who's not so techie who can help them speak to the not so techie, maybe with better icons or explaining things a little bit better. And then in the not so distant future, maybe they could even use like an AI chatbot like Grok that could, you know, hey, Grok, how do I do this? And it could explain it in kind of just like English.
And lastly, when you do give access to someone for your car, you can revoke it at any time on your app. So you can really let somebody borrow your car and you don't have to worry that now they're going to have access for the rest of their life.
Right.
You just go back into your app and in the same spot, you just say remove them as a driver. So
right. It's
really simple.
All right. Do we have anything for beautiful superchargers this week?
We got a couple things. So Norwegians have ranked fast charging for the fourth year in a row. And again, Tesla comes in first place.
Nice. Yeah, Tesla Europe Middle East said Norwegian charging customers like supercharger network best. Tusen takk, Norway.
And now some say that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. This supercharger isn't, let's say, conventionally attractive. There's no beautiful vistas or mountains, but it's full of charging. Check this out.
Hey guys, this is Lars from Germany. On my way in Sweden, my big charging place. Here's my Tesla charging at a Tesla station in Varberg. See a lot of charge places, other companies over here. NIO in the back, also with a swapping station for the batteries. Here's some more Tesla stations in the back, Ionity and others. And here are EVO2 chargers for semis. Now you know.
Thank you, Lars. That's awesome. That is beautiful. All right, it's time for supercharger views. Let's see what people have found out there in the world.
Good afternoon, Zach and Jesse. This is Luke, and I'm here at the brand new supercharger in South Beloit, Illinois. So this I might be the very first customer using it. It's very cool. I would give this an 8 out of 10 just because it's the first time ever using this new V4 pedestals. There's not much around here. The highway's right next door, so it's very convenient. McDonald's across the way, and it's in this Quick Star convenience store. There's a trucker stop right next door. So brand new, possibly just opened today. I think I'm the very first customer using this new supercharger in South Beloit. Thank you for all you do.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. This is Gonzo from Linstow in Mecklenburg-Vorpommern in Germany. This is a 20-stall supercharger, and I'm charging my Hyundai Ioniq 5. I do have a Tesla, so I do have the app, and but you can charge any EV in this one, and this supercharger. There's a hotel close by, the Van der Valk Resort. There is also a supermarket. So a few other things, not that much. I'll give it a 5 out of 10. Have a nice one. Bye-bye.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Alan. And I keep seeing this new supercharger with 16 places in Johns Creek, Georgia. It's at the corner of the parking lot. It just opened. And I don't actually have a Tesla. I have a Hyundai Ioniq plug-in hybrid. So I want a Tesla, maybe someday. And you have here Chipotle. There's a Wendy's across the street and a McDonald's, Kroger grocery. You have LA Fitness, First Watch for breakfast. And there's your beautiful sunset over Johns Creek. But there are 16 brand new superchargers, and they are very short. And I think you can only charge with packs. I don't believe it has any adapters or bonuses. You got a lot of power there. You do have one handicapped space. Nothing to pull through.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. We're two wild and crazy scientists here. We wanted to report on a new Tesla supercharger here in Oceanside. This is a 21 stall with two pull-throughs right here. You can see an ICE car using the pull-through. I can't tell you if they're version 2 or not.
Hello, this is Gene from the future. Don't listen to Gene from the past. These are 250 kilowatt chargers.
I think it's a really nice charging location. It's easy to get to right off the streets. And it's in a shopping center that has a Harbor Freight store. It has Walmart. It has multiple restaurants, including Subway and Wendy's and a Vietnamese restaurant. So definitely something that you could do in your 20 minutes while you're waiting for your vehicle to charge.
How would you rate this, Jack?
I'm going to give this an 8. Because of its location, the number of charging units, and being in the shopping center where you have things that you can do while you're waiting for it to charge.
One thing that we've neglected to talk about, right behind us here is a brewing company. So if you want a beer, you can always sit down and grab a beer while you're charging. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for doing supercharger reviews. On our website, we have a map with all the superchargers on it, and you can upload your reviews there. You can also check out everybody else's review.
What do we got for new superchargers?
We got number 36 in Switzerland is the 12-stall version 4 in Morbio in Fiore, Switzerland.
We have the 10-stall version 4 in Gutzkau, Germany.
The 8-stall version 4 in Schwettenkirchen, Germany.
We have the 12-stall version 4 in Bielefeld, Germany.
The 3-stall in Hangzhou, China.
We have the 3-stall in Hefei, China.
Boot number 2,148 in China is the 3-stall in Chongqing.
We have the 12-stall version 4 in Waltersdorf, Germany.
An expansion from 6 to 16 stalls, version 4 in Weyarn, Germany.
We have the 22-stall version 4 in Rauenberg, Germany.
Number 56 in Massachusetts is the 16-stall version 4 in Braintree, Mass.
Number 89 in Pennsylvania is the 11-stall version 4 in McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania.
McKees Rocks!
Number 510 in California is the 12-stall in Southgate, California.
Number 172 in Florida is the 8-stall version 4 in Miami.
Number 51 in Nevada is the 8-stall version 4 in Ely, Nevada.
Number 102 in New York is the 12-stall in Hewlett, New York.
Number 54 in Arizona is the 16-stall version 4 in Chandler, Arizona.
The 12-stall version 4 in Cayman, Germany.
The 6-stall version 4 in Wertheim, Germany.
Number 152 in the UK is the 12-stall version 4 in Cambridge.
The 14-stall version 4 in Bruchsal, Germany.
Number 210 in France is the 8-stall version 4 in Luçon.
Number 29 in Alabama is the 12-stall version 4 in Mobile, Alabama.
Number 83 in Virginia is the 12-stall version 4 in Rustburg.
Number 86 in New Jersey and 2,465 in the United States is the 12-stall version 3 in Millville, New Jersey.
We have the 8-stall version 4 in Nossen, Germany.
An expansion from 8 to 16 stalls, version 4, in San Giuliano Milanese, Italy.
Number 123 in Japan is the 6-stall in Sakai.
Number 84 in Sweden is the 20-stall version 4 in Mora.
And number 226 in Germany, number 1308 in Europe, number 6812 in the world is the 8-stall version 4 in Achim Ost, Germany. Germany is creeping up on Canada as the most superchargers outside of the U.S.
Ooh.
And China.
Well, it doesn't really count because most Chinese yeah. superchargers are like 3 stalls.
That's
so funny what a difference it is between them. And it's so funny how they said that Tesla was done with superchargers.
I know. Well, I mean, that, you know, remember, your decisions are only as good as your information. So be careful where you get it, right? The information you collect has a tendency to affect who you are. It's important stuff, this information, and there's a lot of it at your fingertips. It's being pumped with all sorts of algorithms to get into your eyeballs and ears all the time. So thank you for spending your valuable time with us today.
The information we bring you every week can be hard to find in one place. We scour far and wide to find it and bring it to you every week. And a lot of it is because of you, our amazing viewers.
So thank you for being awesome.
We'll see you next week. Now you know.
This sale season, Ritual is urging you to think about what's essential. Your daily health? Pretty essential. Making sure your products are heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and sourced through a traceable supply chain? Also essential. So this Black Friday, skip the micro trends and put your savings where they matter. Your health. With 40% off daily essentials like stress relief and Symbiotic Plus for gut support. Head to ritual.com/podcast and shop responsibly.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.